राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी, गोपी जन बल्लभा कृपाल धारी। जय गोपी जन बल्लभा गिरीवर धारी। यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजन। रामनाथीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी चन्न बल्लभ गिरीवर यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 जय ओम विष्णु परमहंस विभाजकाचार्य स्वामी प्रभुपाद की। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य भुवनेतानंदा साद्वैत गदाधर शिवाश्री गौर भक्तवृंद की। राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपनाथ श्याम कुंवर गिरि गोवर्धन की। वृंदावन धाम की जय, जगपुरी धाम की, तुलसी देवी गंगामय यमुनामय की।
Jai.
Jai. Jai. Some devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glory Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga.
All glory Shri Guru and Gauranga.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, We are reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I don't know if I've been keeping up with the classes, but I'll do the best I can. I hope I don't repeat or do something nonsense. Sarva Shastra Abdi Piyusha Sarva Vedayaka Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnabhya Sarva Lokayaka Drikpada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, the singular fruit of all the Vedas, the rich mine of precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the world. Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabho Kale Danto Ditaditya Sri Krishna Parivartita. O life heir of all Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Paramananda Partaya Prema Varshaksharaya Te Sarvada Sarvi Savyaya Sri Krishna Namostutme. I bow to you who are the supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. Marika Bando Matsangin Madguru Mahadana Manisaraka Madbhagya Madananda Namostute. My only friend, constant companion, spiritual master, great wealth, savior, my good fortune, source of ecstasy, I bow to you. Asadu sarutadayan ati nichochatakara anamunchakadachin mam prena hrikante ospora. O bestower of saintliness, to the unsaintly, exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. That's Sanatana Goswami in the Krishna Lila-stava. Five verses glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam, which I would highly recommend.
Next.
So, reading the...
Prabhu, that was wonderful.
Sanatana Goswami, you know, he knew something about the Bhagavatam. Nishamya bishmoktam atat chutoktam.
Nishamya bishmoktam atat chutoktam.
Vritta vigyana vidhuta vibhrama.
Vritta vigyana vidhuta vibhrama.
Shashasya gamindra ivajita shraya. Vigyana viduta vibhrama.
Pravritta vigyana
viduta vibhrama.
Shashasya gamindra ivajita shraya.
Shashasya gamindra ivajita shraya.
Paridyupanta manujanu vartita. Nishanya bhishmoktam atachutoktam.
Nishanya bhishmoktam atachutoktam.
Pravitta vigyana vidhuta vibhrama.
Pavitta vigyana vidhuta vibhrama. I'll call
it
that.
Shashagam Indra Ivajita Shraya.
Shashagam Indra Ivajita Shraya.
Paridyupanta Manujanu Vartita.
Paridyupanta Manujanu Vartita.
Hello, somebody chanting now.
Nishamya bishmoktam atachutoktam.
Nishyami bishmoktam atachutoktam.
Pravitta vigyana vidhuta vibhrama. Pravitta
vigyana viduta vapimaha
brahma shashashagam indriya ivajitashraya shashashagam
sakam indra
ivajitashraya pradyuptantam anujanuvartita
Paridyutam tam anujanuvartitaha. Nishyama bishmoktam atachyatoktam.
Nishyamya bishmoktam atachyutoktam.
Pravritta vijnana viduta vibramaha.
Pravritta vijnana vidhuta vibrama.
Shashashagam indra ivajata shrasraya.
Shashashagam indriya ivajata shrasraya.
Paridyupantam anujanuvartitaha.
Paridyupantam anujanuvartita.
Somebody else?
Nishamya bishmoktam atachyutoktam.
Nishamya bishmoktam atachyutoktam.
Pravritta vijnana vidhuta vibramaha.
Pravritta vijnana vidhuta vibramaha.
Shashashagam indra ivajitashraya.
Shashashagam indra ivajitashraya.
Paridyupantam anujanuvartitaha.
Paridyupantam anujanuvartitaha.
Nishamya bishmoktam atachyutoktam.
Nishamya bishmoktam atachyutoktam.
Pravritti vijnana viduta vibrama.
Pravritta vijnana viduta vibrama.
Shashashagam indra ivajitashraya.
Shashashagam indriya ivajitashraya.
Paridyupantam anujanuvartitaha.
Paridyupantam anujanuvartitaha.
Nishamya vishmoktam
Nishamyam atachyutoktam.
Pravritta vijnana viduta vibrama.
Pravritta vijnana viduta vibrama.
Shashashagam indra ivajitashraya.
Shashashagam ivajitashraya.
Paridyupantam anujanuvartita.
Paridyupantam anujanuvartita.
All right, word Nishamya after listening.
Nishamya, after listening.
Bhishma Uktam. What was spoken by Bhishma Dev?
Bhishma
Uktam. What was spoken by Bhishma Dev?
Atta, as also.
Atta.
Atta, as also.
Achyuta Uktam. What was spoken by the infallible Lord Krishna?
Achyuta Uktam. What was spoken by the infallible Lord Krishna?
Pravritta, being engaged in.
Pravritta,
being engaged in.
Vijnana, perfect knowledge.
Vijnana, perfect knowledge.
Viduta, completely washed.
Viduta,
completely washed.
Vibrama, all misgivings.
Vibrama,
all misgivings.
Shashasha, ruled over.
Shashasha, ruled over.
Gam, the earth.
Gam,
the earth.
Indra, the king of the heavenly planet.
Indra,
the king of the heavenly planet.
Eva, like. Ajita Ashraya, protected by the invincible Lord.
Ajita Ashraya, protected by the invisible Lord.
Paridi Upantam. Including the seas.
Anuja, the younger brothers.
Anuvartita, being followed by them.
Translation. Are you going to have us repeat it, or are you just going to go ahead and read from here on out?
I'm just going to read now because it's just, you know, everyone's staggered when you hear it on this end.
No problem. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone. And when it's time for questions, you can unmute yourself. Okay, so just give me 1 second, Prabhu.
Ramananda, can I say something? Could people please mute themselves? Because when you unmute, then it's a problem.
Yeah, if everybody could please mute themselves. And Pushkar, just give me 1 second. I'll give you the clear in just a moment.
All right, sure.
Okay, Pushkar, go ahead.
All right. Maharaj Yudhisthira, after being enlightened by what was spoken by Bhishma Dev and Lord Sri Krishna the Infallible, engaged himself in matters of perfect knowledge because all misgivings were eradicated. All his misgivings were eradicated. Thus he ruled over the earth and seas and was followed by his younger brothers. Purport. The modern English law of primogeniture, or the law of inheritance by the firstborn, was also prevalent in those days when Maharaj Yudhisthira ruled the earth and seas. In those days, the king of Hastinapur, now part of New Delhi, was the emperor of the world, including the seas, up to the time of Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira's younger brothers were acting as his ministers and commanders of state, and there was full cooperation between the perfectly religious brothers of the king. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the ideal king or representative of Lord Sri Krishna to rule over the kingdom of earth and was comparable to King Indra, the representative ruler of the heavenly planets. The demigods like Indra, Chandra, Surya, Varuna, and Vayu are representative kings of different planets of the universe, and similarly Maharaj Yudhisthira was also one of them, ruling over the kingdom of the earth. Maharaj Yudhisthira was not a typically unenlightened political leader of modern democracy. Maharaj Yudhisthira was instructed by Bhishma Dev and the infallible Lord also. Therefore, he had full knowledge of everything in perfection. The modern elected executive head of state is just like a puppet because he has no kingly power. Even if he's enlightened like Maharaj Yudhisthira, he cannot do anything out of his own goodwill due to his constitutional position. Therefore, there are so many states over the earth quarreling because of ideological differences or other selfish motives. But a king like Maharaj Yudhisthira had no ideology of his own. He had but to follow the instructions of the infallible Lord and the Lord's representative and authorized agent Bhishma Dev. It is instructed in the Shastras that one should follow the great authority and the infallible Lord without any personal motive and manufactured ideology. Therefore, it was possible for Maharaj Yudhisthira to rule the whole world, including the seas, because the principles were infallible and universally applicable to everyone. The conception of one world state can only be fulfilled if we can follow the infallible authority. An imperfect human being cannot create an ideology acceptable to everyone. Only the perfect and infallible can create a program which is applicable in every place and can be followed by all in the world. If it is the person who rules and not the impersonal government, it is the person who rules and not the impersonal government. If the person is perfect, the government is perfect. If the person is a fool, the government is a fool's paradise. That is the law of nature. There are so many stories of imperfect kings or executive heads. Therefore, the executive head must be a trained person like Maharaj Yudhisthira, and he must have full autocratic power to rule over the world. the conception of a world state can take shape only under the regime of a perfect king like Maharaj Yudhisthira. The world was happy in those days because there were kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira to rule over the world. Om Gyana Tamaranda Shaganjana Shalakai Chakshumaritam Yena Tasmai Shigarina Maha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Slam Rupidamayam Dadati Supadantikam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Shri Advaita Gadara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Okay. Nishamya Bhishmoktam Atachutoktam Pravitta Vigyana Viduta Vibrahma Shashashagamindra Ivajita Shraya Paridupantam Anujjano Vartita. Maharaj Yudhisthira, after being enlightened by what was spoken by Bhishma Dev and Lord Sri Krishna the Infallible, engaged himself in matters of perfect knowledge because all his misgivings were eradicated. Thus he ruled over the earth, seas, and was followed by his younger brothers. And so Prabhupada first mentions about the primogeniture, the law of inheritance of the firstborn, and how Maharaj Yudhisthira ruled in cooperation with his brothers, who were Anuja. This literally means Ja means born, and Anu means following him. They were born after him. Therefore, they understood this is an important thing just to begin with, that these brothers understood their position. And we see that throughout. You know, they were raging with fury when the incident of Draupadi, but still they probably thought that this is crazy, this gambling match, but they went along. When Yudhisthira was sent out, they also went out. They could have fought. But they always set this example of being, sometimes there was some slight friction, but it was overcome by Krishna, with the help of Krishna. So, again, throughout this section, many sections of the Bhagavatam, we're seeing Prabhupada extol the glories of the perfect kingdom, although it's the material world, but still, by following the Shastra, Yashastra vidim utra javartate kamakarata, nasasidim avapnoti, without the following, by rejecting whimsically, this is mentioned in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, rejecting the Shastra, one cannot have happiness in this life or the next. Something important also is achutoktam. Achutoktam, achuta, is the infallible Krishna. And another word for Krishna here, the invincible, ajita. Advaitam achuti anaryanantrum rupam ajam purana purusham navayovanam cha. Krishna is known in the Brahma Samhita by these various words, advaitam achuti anaryanantrum ajam purana. Ajito, and also Ajita, that he's unconquerable but can be conquered by the devotee, which is what we see here. Bhishma Dev and his brothers, Yudhisthira and his brothers, by the instruction of Bhishma, what to speak of the instruction of Bhishma and Krishna, they were surrendered souls. They could conquer Krishna himself. We see in the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna, in the very beginning, in the first chapter, he is saying, Sanayor Ubayor Madhye Stapam Ratam Stapya Me Chuta. He's, when he, I think it's Bhagavad Gita 21, that he says, please, because now that Krishna was driving his chariot, he had to order Krishna. Krishna wanted to be ordered by Arjuna. He wants to be servant of his devotee. He likes this. This is our rasa. He likes to be ordered around. Radharani has so many intimate pastimes with Krishna, and these are very intimate. But still, even in this ras with Arjuna, he's ordering Krishna. At the same time, he's addressing him as achuta, that I know you're achuta. I know you're achuta. But please, you cannot fall down. You're the infallible source of myself and everything big and small in this universe, every universe. Still, I'm ordering you, but at the same time, within the order, he's saying, Ratam stapya me chuta. Ratam is the chariot. And you situate my chariot in the middle because I want to see Nariksheham. I want to glance over the entire situation with Krishna as his charioteer and to see what was going on. But he had to put the chariot in a particular position. Therefore, he was constantly ordering Krishna. Not one time. Here we see in the beginning of the Gita, but throughout, he had to order Krishna. Right here, right here. That's the job of the warrior, the soldier. But the chariot driver, he's simply the servant. He's a servant. In fact, isn't it Karna was a chariot driver? From a chariot driver, he's considered lowly. And it wasn't, he had to be upgraded by his good buddy Duryodhan. As I'm given a kingdom, he was given a big kingdom too, but he was still amongst the elite, understood to be a chariot driver. And of course, in the end, he understood he's Karna, he's the brother, but because he was raised by a chariot driver, he was considered lowly. So this is, although a chariot driver may be very expert, he's not the warrior on the chariot, but he's being ordered. And so this Achyuta word is used to denote that he doesn't fall down. So you don't fall down. And the devotees also, they're in the Achyuta Gotra, the line, the lineage of Krishna, whether whoever you are born, it doesn't matter. Kerata honandra palinda pulkasha birya shambhaya vanakasha yenye papa. Whether one is sinful in any way, he's born Kiratahon Andra. He's in the Achyuta Gotra, the lineage of Achyuta. If he takes full shelter, Yadapashraya Shraya, Ashraya, Achyuta Priya, sometimes he's known as Achyuta Priya, very dear. The devotees are very dear, and Achyuta is also very dear, Priya. When Arjuna was again speaking with Krishna, it's mentioned there in the 11th chapter of the Gita, he addressed him as Achyuta. There's two verses where Saketi Matva Iti Makva Yoruktam. I was ordering you around, and he says, now I'm understanding that although we were alone and joking, I sat on the bed, Sayaneshu, in so many ways I acted, but he's feeling, you know, when he saw the universal form, this is part of his prayers that Arjuna said. I didn't realize you were great glories. So Arjuna, I mean, he's a friend of Krishna. He's a cousin of Krishna. But at the same time, he wants to understand how great Krishna is in the 11th chapter of the Gita. But he's a very intimate associate. So yeah, it's hard for us to enter into this understanding of this realization of Krishna, of Arjuna, how great he understands Krishna. He wants to see how great he is. At the same time, he's a friend of Krishna. And then again, he says, oh, your glories are so great, like that. But then, what did he say at the end of the 11th chapter? He said, oh, I'm really tired of seeing this. This is very frightening, this universal form. Please, again, appear in your two-arm form, so I can see you, and this is the way I really want to see you. So he doesn't really like to see a devotee, doesn't want to see that form. He has to understand the form. We see it in the Bhagavad Gita. It's similar. He uses the same word, nashtamoha smriti labda tat prasada maya achyuta. Nashtamoha. Nashtamoha smriti labda. I've gotten my memory back. He says near the end of the Bhagavad Gita, nashtamoha. Whatever was wrong, it's like it says here, viduta vibhrama. Whatever I had perceived wrong, an illusion, I've gotten again my memory. Nashta moha smritila trat prasada maya achyuta. By your mercy, trat prasada maya achyuta. Achyuta, you are the infallible person. So again, this similar term is used here for Krishna, that he's ajita, unconquerable, invincible. Sometimes it's called, ajita means to conquer. Ajito, jito, pyash, this very famous verse of Lord Brahma's prayers in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavatam, 10th canto. where he's describing Gane Prayasam Udapashya Namanta Eva. Gane Prayasam Udapashya Namanta Eva. That one, the first thing Brahma says in his prayers, one of the first things, he says, Gane Prayasam. One has to give up this idea of speculating to understand Krishna. Gane Prayasam Udapashya, and become very humble. Namanta. Namanta Eva. And the result is that he will conquer the unconquerable Krishna. So the devotees become unconquerable also, just like Prabhupada. It is unconquerable. If someone would, how could anyone argue or defeat him? A great devotee like that, it's impossible. So if anyone takes shelter, just as Yudhisthira has taken shelter, as his brothers have taken shelter of him and Krishna, the words of Bhishma, they become purified. Therefore, they've given up. The word is used here also. Nishamya bhishmoktamata pravritta vijnana. They're engaged in perfect knowledge. They're engaged themselves in all matters of perfect knowledge. Jnana vijnana triptatma kutasto vijitendriya. These words are used throughout Gita, Bhagavatam. Jnana vijnana. I will explain to you that which knowledge and realized knowledge. This is tattva, tattva gyan, and science. Vigyan means the science and the realized knowledge. Prabhupada describes it like that. Bhagavat tattva vigyanam. Bhagavat tattva vigyanam mukta. One becomes liberated by this knowledge. By a regular, ordinary knowledge, mundane knowledge, one becomes defeated himself. Jita. He cannot, and in that verse by Lord Brahma, he describes by body, mind, and words, now I'm realizing, he's having a realization. So the devotees, they can realize by their body, they can bow, namanta, eva, they bow down, they offer obeisances. In their mind, they can summon the ajita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and of course by their words, they can even order Krishna around, just as Arjuna was ordering around. Sometimes the gopis, and they're ordering Krishna around, the coward boys, they're ordering Krishna, you get down now, I'll get on your shoulders. This is the ultimate end of knowledge. Jnana vijnana sahitam yad gatva moksha shobha. One becomes liberated by this knowledge. Mundane knowledge, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it, that is simply the glare of Maya, Aishwarya, the glare of Maya. And it simply conquers the living entity over and over. They're very attracted like moths to this mundane knowledge. But as Prabhupada describes very clearly, this type of knowledge, which leads, as we hear in this purport, there's simply friction. And this so-called knowledge that you are American, you are this person, is simply increasing upadhi, designation. And you're getting deeper and deeper into the darkness. So there may be darkness, but if I bring you into from darkness to deeper darkness, yes, you come in here, no light, there's less than. So this is advancement, Prabhupada said, but it's advancement into the darkness. Andayatandar upaniyamana. Andayatandar upaniyamana. This is Prahlad Maharaj's verse where he's describing that the blind are leading the blind in Anda. They're already, the leader is blind. He can only lead you into darkness. So there are so many leaders, so-called self-appointed leaders. The people are being oppressed by them, and they're very frustrated, you know, superficial monarchs, elected superficially. Prabhupada actually said that even if a good man, as it says here, even if someone is good, if he's elected, he won't be able to do anything. Therefore, the good person, Prabhupada was asked this on a conversation once, why is it that good men are not doing anything? They don't run. They don't, of course, they plead that they're good. They say, oh, I'm very good. You know, you'll, you know, chicken in every pot, you know, a gun in every hand, you know, you'll understand delusion. We'll put you in college so you can, we'll increase psychiatrists in the suicide laboratory. If you, when you, after you're, if you live through the war, that you fight for the greedy nonsense rascals. If you happen to live through it, then we'll put you on the suicide watch and much quicker, so that, you know, and we'll give you more increased type of medication so that you can feel you may not kill so many people in a mall, or you may, like that, you might be able to purchase some higher grade of meat and kill a steak, kill a cow and eat better meat. This, we can help you with that. If we, that's what their education is for. Jada Vidya. This is called Vidya, but Jada Vidya, the Vidya of ignorance. Andaya Tandarupani Yamana, Tepisa Tantramurudam Nibada. Bada means bound up. So this is how the so-called leaders are. They don't accept the praja. The praja means anyone in there born in their kingdom, whether he's any animal, any cow, but they kill mercilessly. This is the propagation. They cannot do anything. They're completely unenlightened, heading in, always in the wrong direction, and bound up, buddha, bound up by hands and feet. So unless one takes shelter of someone who's surrendered to a jitashraya, a chutashraya, and a chutagotra, he'll always be bewildered, vibrama. He cannot come. We saw this word, actually, it reminds me, viduta beta moha, in one of Bhishma's prayers, just in the last chapter, I think. Tamimama hama jam, sharira ba jam. He said, now I'm finished with vidu. My illusion is now gone. I can see that Krishna is in everyone's heart. Tamajam pratidisham, it's like the sun shining. So Krishna is the sun shining very clearly. And simply, if we read the Bhagavatam as described by just now by Sanatana Goswami, we can get the full shelter. It's interesting, though, that this Achyuta, even when Krishna was in danger and the gopis were, you know, there's so many demons were attacking, and at one point, Mother Yasoda and the elder gopis, they were chanting so many verses. There are Matajis that chant. I think my wife chants some of these verses, if not all, to protect the children. There's several sections like that. One of them where they're invoking Mother Yasoda, and the gopis are invoking the various names of Krishna to protect the various parts of. Even they invoke Baladev, Haladar, to, but they also mention Achyuta would protect the waist, upper waist. And in every part of the body, there's different names given. I'm not too familiar with exactly every name, to protect the head and the hands and the arms, and when you're going here, when you're going there. So even though he's already Achyuta, but in this Vivart, illusion of love, they're in invoking that Achyuta should protect Krishna. He's already Achyuta, but they're saying that he should be protected by Vishnu. So this is the higher stage of love of God demonstrated by these Madhya Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj as to protect Krishna, to protect Krishna. Yes, Krishna, don't do this, don't do that. I have to feed you. And they never think that Krishna is there. You know, he's the Supreme Personality of God. He's simply this baby Krishna. This is how they love. Prabhupada says, Prabhupada is very, very heavy in this chapter. Especially he gets to the point. It's the very next verse, a very famous verse. Shishichu smavra jangava. How the cows are swollen, their udders swollen with milk. And then he begins to talk about how there's so much naturally in the world. It says, because actually, what is this reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira that's being described? And we're going to hear about it. Maharaj Yudhisthira, thus enlightened. And then the very next verse and the series of verses talks about these rivers and oceans. You're sure he's protecting the oceans. Are they protecting the oceans? No, they're exploiting the ocean. Every single thing Prabhupada mentions, you can find that they're defeated. Defeated. Parabhava stavata bodha jato. This is one of the verses of Parabhava stavata bodha jato. The ignorant, they're born ignorant, they remain ignorant, and they're always defeated by their own activity. Sukeshu Dukkha, that Prahlad Maharaj's verse where he says, as soon as they try to become happy, separate from Krishna, then Prahlad Maharaj, he could not understand how the whole world was going on without Krishna consciousness. And so he gave so many instructions, just as Rishabh Dev has given, that Parabhavastavara Bodhrajat Yavana Jigyasata Atma Tattvam, without inquiring, who are we? Why are we here? What are we doing here? Why did we screw this planet up? All the prescriptions for the saving the environment, you know, sustainable, all those things that people throw around. Prabhupada has dealt with this long ago. He's got he has so many questions in these purports. Is this humanity? Aren't the animals citizens also? Why are they allowed to be slaughtered? Are these signs of equality and fraternity that people say? You know, he asks a series of questions in a purport, so many heavy questions. Even if one is a senior person, Prabhupada said, you could challenge them with a question. This is the etiquette. Is this right? Is this right? Of course, these are not senior people. You could maybe say they're senior, but let's say you had a chance to speak with you. So there, the Shastra is there. If one is Shastra Chakshush, let's say we came across some senator or some government hierarchy, anyone in the government, we had a chance to meet with Obama or anyone, we could ask them that question. Is this right? Is this right? Without, apparently, according to Prabhupada, according to the Shastra, without inflaming them. Because it's a question. It's just a question. It's not even a challenge. Is this right? Is this right that you're slaughtering cows? Is this right that you pollute the ocean in the name of your so-called Democratic Republican Party or whatever you claim? Is this right that you're the Queen of England and you have so much money but you wouldn't do anything but worry about who's getting married? Is this right? Is this right? You can always ask these questions. So, Dante Nidayachana Kampadeo Napatya. We go in like the needle, we come out like the plow. Of course, Prabhupada, he has the Adhikar, he could come in like the, sometimes like a plow, but still showing always humility. But he would challenge. He said, look, I'm not a scientist. I am not a historian. I'm not a big any of these things. But because I know the Shastra, because I know what is perfection, Ajita, who is Achyuta, who is Ajita, in this line, he had full faith in the Shastra. That is Acharya that he follows, just as when Sanatana Goswami was speaking with Thakur Haridas. He says, you are the greatest devotee in the world, in this entire world, because some people, they're able to speak, but they cannot act properly. Some people act properly, but they cannot preach or speak. Apani Achari, Keho. Some may speak nicely, but Haridas Thakur, you speak, you act perfectly, therefore you're the Jagat Guru, the actual Parama Jagat Guru of this entire universe, this entire world. You're the actual, and you're the greatest devotee. So we can relate to that. Thakur Haridas, he's Parama Vidvangs, the supreme, most learned person. At the same time, he's born a lowly Muslim family. He wasn't trained as a Brahmana. He was respected by everyone, though, even when he was challenged by the king of Bengal and his minions and beaten in so many places, he was not defeated. Nobody can claim to be like Haridas Thakur and imitate him, but he is the greatest example. Enthroned in the... See, we can even understand about that, how bin Laden, they threw him in the... they threw him in the ocean claiming that this was a Muslim burial, but we know from the Shastra it's not a Muslim burial, because Thakur Haridas was thrown in a Ganga because the king said, don't give him a proper burial. It's not a Muslim burial. Hang on one second.
Hello? What's the matter? I'm giving class. Are you all right?
So the Shastra, we understand all we can see in relation. There's nice kamam achyuta bhavavarjitam the shobhate gyanam. The word achyuta is used there in these instructions of Narad Muni to Vyasadeva. nice kamyam apya chuta bhavarjitam the shobate ganam alam naranjanam. Where in this particular verse, he describes that without knowledge of the infallible personality of God, achuta, who never falls down, nothing so-called knowledge looks good, even if it's good knowledge, so-called good knowledge of the mode of goodness and the impersonal Brahman, but it's not beautiful. Nashobate, shobate means beautiful. Nashobate ganama alam naranjanam. Naranjanam means to deliver us from all kinds of illusion, niranjanam, so also like an upadis. So, and again, Prabhupada used to also use that one famous Narad Muni verse that describes that buddhi-datayo, whether any type of science, art, whatever we do in this material world, we can understand it in relation to achuta, Supreme Personality of God, whether it's science, any type of knowledge, politics, and it all could be used in relation to Krishna, Gyanavigyana, Sahitam, and we can have the ultimate realization. So we are again amazed at Prabhupada's purports, and there's a verse that describes, it was the fourth canto, I was just reading that, Varam Vanidyam Varam Vo. Nandana, that where Vishnu, Lord Vishnu is saying that you brothers, he's speaking to the sons of Prachini Barhi, and he's saying that I'm very pleased with you because you work together, conjointly, because in this material world, people just don't work conjointly in general, and things have been divided. Obviously, when there's one great emperor like Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers are ruling and the demons can't get a foothold, this is the ideal situation. And so Lord Vishnu was pleased when these brothers were the Pachetas, they were working perfectly together. And so he said, you take from me any boon. So if we want the boons, we have to also work together. Prabhupada said about our ISKCON, when I leave, you'll be tested to see if you work together. So we're constantly being tested. The tests are not always passed in flying colors. But we can see that Prabhupada's testing us. Otherwise, it's just like the boys. They're supposed to be massaging the father, but they're beating him, breaking his arms and legs. No, he's my father. This is what he said. Bam, bam. So the father is suffering. Of course, the father may not be suffering. He's in the spiritual world. But the body of the father that he left us, the teaching, the organization, it suffers unless people work together. Just as these brothers worked so nicely together, ruling over the earth, we may not be able to ever rule over the earth. We can just simply rule over our ISKCON or rule over our senses, as Muchikunda said when he was also addressed Krishna as Achyuta, that as the infallible. But I'm supposed to be the king, but I've actually completely subservient to my senses. As soon as my senses dictate, then I'm conquered. So we have to ajitendriya become jitendriya. Right now we're ajitendriya. Everyone in the material world is ajitendriya. We're trying to become jitendriya. Jita means to conquer over the indriya, the senses, the become yogis, the greatest yogis. Yoginam api sarvesham. This is our mission given by Prabhupada, and it seems simple, but it becomes very difficult. If we don't work together, everybody on their own fighting, and there's nothing. But Prabhupada gave the solution. He gave the shastra. He gave the sadhana, and the sadhana, the sadhya, the goal of the sadhana. But without the sadhana, we cannot get the goal. We cannot conquer the senses. Satam prasanga mama virya samvido. Bhavantu hitkana rasayana kata. If we want to really relish rasayana kata, relish the kata, we can sometimes relish on our own, but it's nice also to relish with other devotees. Satampa Sangam. Otherwise, we're like sparks, tiny sparks. We can be extinguished at any time. But when the sparks come together, there's fire, flame. So that's Tashyanti Cha, Ramanti Cha. Devotees take great pleasure in speaking with one another like that about the Shastra, the different various slokas, purports, the commentaries. In this way, they become more and more enlivened, more and more. Pratipadam Purnamrita Svadam. It gives us the taste, full taste, chanting more and more. I just read in Mukunda's book that in San Francisco, he called up Mukunda, and he just called him in, and he said, Mukunda, chant 64 rounds like that. And Mukunda was like, he probably could see in his face, he was like, like that, I don't know. He said, chant 32 rounds. And Mukunda was thinking, well, Prabhupada, he said, you have to chant 16 rounds. Of course, he'd already told the devotees to chant 16 rounds. This was already in 1967. Again, Prabhupada was stressing, increase, 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 don't decrease. We have to increase. Prabhupada was always wanting more and more and more. He gave us so much to do, more. Paint a painting a day, you know. I can paint a painting. If it doesn't take a day, trust me. It takes months and years or whatever. Prabhupada said, paint a painting a day. Who can do that? You might make some little painting, but it may not be. But increase book distribution, double it. Okay, you've done this, then double it. Just like when Prabhupada was told that this one devotee, he was a new bhakta, I don't know what happened to him, but in England, they were informed that Prabhupada was informed that this person had been one of the guards in front of the Queen's Palace, Buckingham Palace, with one of the guys with a big furry hat. And Prabhupada used to be one of those guards Prabhupada said, well, what about the Queen? You know, this, okay, so what? But what about the Queen? Yeah, the Queen, a much more important thing than this guard, some lowly guard. The Prabhupada was always aiming sights very high, and we see that here. Because he knew the standard. Nobody knows the standard. This is the standard. The more you deviate from the standard, then the more and more, just like the parallel lines, if they're not running parallel, they're off. They'll get more and more off. So this is what we see now in Kali Yuga. Everything more and more off, day by day. Tatas cha nudinam dharma sacham socham kshama daya. In the 12th canto verse, tatas cha anudinam. Anudinam. Anu means day by day. Anudinam. Dinam means a day. So day by day, therefore, he says, tatas cha nudinam dinam sacham socham. All these things are being reduced. Sacham, truth, cleanliness, kshama, forgiveness, daya, mercy, all those things. The more we're out of touch with Achyuta and Achyuta Priya, the devotees of Achyuta, the instructions of Achyuta, Achyuta Gotra, then all these things, Balena Kalina, strength, all these things are reducing, memory, reducing day by day, and just hurling us into the abyss. So this is what the leaders are doing, and all we can do is say no. This isn't how it is. Point to the Shastra. The Shastra, Shashasha means they were ruled over by the Shastra. Only this is the root also of Shashtatu. Prabhupada says there's the Shastra and there's Shastra. First there's the Shastra. We say you follow Shastra. If you cannot, then the Kshatriyas like Yudhisthira and Arjuna, Bhishma, they should take care of you. Pariksit Maharaj was a descendant. He had to hear all this history. Then he understood, yes, to chastise this Kali. Kali was beating the bull, beating the cow. Not even killing, beating. What to speak of killing. It was unimaginable, unimaginable. And even in Vrindavan and Mathura, they're slaughtering cows. Now maybe they're just kidnapping them in Vrindavan. Slaughterhouses are flourishing, everything is supposed to be abundant. The oceans, the seas, pure, viduta beta moha, viduta vibrama, and just it's described just like Indra. All right, so if there's any discussions. Thank you.
I'd like to ask a question a little bit off subject, but related to the instruction of the spiritual master, especially your talking Prabhupada said, you know, do a painting a day, which, you know, may have not been apparently practical. What you had Prabhupada's association. I was wondering if you could share with us, I've always wanted to ask you this question, any special philosophical instructions Prabhupada gave you about your very unique service of paintings? And, you know, we've heard Prabhupada describe paintings as being the windows to the spiritual world. I mean, what a great service. But what special ways did Prabhupada instruct you with regard to painting? Things to do and things not to do.
Right. Well, I can answer that. Unless someone has something exactly on this verse, I'll answer that afterwards. But
I have something. The that you said struck a chord. We're all facing some global karma on account of, with the leaders and the, the whole machinery of the Kali Yuga's just grinding up all these animals, and it's creating havoc for everybody. So this idea of like, is it right? Is it right? I mean, that is an approach, and I appreciated the way you said that it's not inflammatory, that you can challenge in that way, the way Prabhupada challenged, and if you know how to do it, you can get away with it. But wouldn't there be another tact where, you know, everything is based on fear these days? There's a lot of fearfulness, and even the 9/11, post-9/11 government is played it almost like an organ, the different colors, you know, the yellow, the orange, the red.
Now we're this fearful, and today we're more fearful. We're not so afraid now. And we went down to yellow from red or orange. If it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny, huh?
Right. So I was thinking, is there, could that also be an angle where, you know, people, they evidently respond to fear. The government's figured that out. And they're using that. They're exploiting the masses by, exciting or bringing out this fear that they already have, because everybody subconsciously, they know it's coming. You know, there's some heavy global karma for all the stuff that's going on.
Well, what they're afraid of is not the global karma. Well, it is global karma that they're getting, but they're couching it that, you know, the Arabs are going to come, Muslims are going to come, these guys are going to come, the Chinese, the Mexicans, they're going to come and get you. But why are they coming to get you? Because you're a moron, a fool, because you supplied them with the very weapons. Because the people are such fools, they can understand. I mean, anyone with a brain can realize, you know, I think half or huge amount of the money that the United States sends over to these countries like Afghanistan is just being taken by the enemy. And they said recently 90% of the stuff being used by the Mexican drug lords is all United States, not even ordinary, but military armaments, military. So, I mean, you're voting for people who are just like allowing that. You're going to worry about karma, man? Get a brain, you know? It's like amazing, you know, without even, you know. I can't say that we're non-political either, because, I mean, I know devotees who are Republican, a lot of them are radical left-wing, but it's hard to give that up. And as far as global karma, everyone's got to recognize, yeah, it's global karma, but everyone thinks they have the solution still, even within ISKCON. I know some really radical swamis who are, I don't think I know too many right-wing swamis, but really kind of more like, but Not in terms of the material terms, but we understand that they're exploiters. They're all exploiters. How could anyone endorse any of them? I mean, Prabhupada didn't mind that we had our own God We Trust party also. He just didn't want them to take money from ISKCON. If they could raise money, on their own and not get in too much maya, like Prabhupada says so many times, if don't get caught catching the big fish, don't get pulled in. So if it was possible. But then again, he said, no one will listen to a good man, because You know, a good man won't run because he thinks everyone's a rascal. Why would they listen? They won't listen. They won't listen to me because they're all rascals anyway. So even if he's elected by some hook or crook, one of our men were elected, you know, he'd probably be assassinated after the first day or something. I mean, people say JFK did good things, you know, Martin Luther King, or they were assassinated. RFK, you know, they were trying to do something to at least ameliorate the situation on a mundane level, that they're assassinated. They're gone. So what could be done?
Probably makes a nice point. I'm sorry. Probably makes a nice point in the second paragraph.
Don, yeah.
He's saying that even if someone is enlightened like Maharaj Yudhishthir, he cannot do anything out of his own goodwill due to his constitutional position. Actually, I was going to ask you that question. What did that mean, constitutional position? But then I sort of read further in the purport, because what Prabhupada is saying there is that, we'll go back to the first sentence, no modern elected executive head of state is just like a puppet because he has no kingly power. So,
yeah.
You know, Prabhupada
right.
called democracy demon crazy. So even if we had someone was elected and they were someone enlightened like Maharaj Yudhishthir, what a statement, he couldn't do anything because of the way the political system is set up. You're basically a puppet. He really has no power.
Yeah, that's the story. I mean, it's tragic. I mean, we're all hurled. Prabhupada said the world's in a suicidal course. I mean, when you see something, I mean, what could be more mind-boggling that, I mean, I don't know how many guys are killed now in the wars that we have, but definitely not 6,500 a year. But 6,500 a year veterans kill themselves because the war is so hellish that when they come back, that's why I was talking about, yeah, you know, like if you elect me, you know, I'll increase the suicide watch or something. You know, it's like insane because it's like, you know, my wife's sister's son, he just killed himself Friday. I mean, he made it through Afghanistan. First, they had him in Iraq. Then he enlisted at 17. He went to – now the funeral's down in Daytona on Friday, Saturday. So he made it through all the way through. Like twice he was in tanks that were completely burned up by roadside bombs. And he lived through it and got a Purple Heart. And then he ended up killing himself. He was so haunted by all the things that happened to him. That, you know, and we asked him when he came through – he was on leave once. He came through. I didn't ask him because I just didn't. You know, my wife asked him, "What do you think now? You were so gung ho. What do you think? Why do you think we're there? Do you really feel gung ho now?" And gung ho, whatever they call it. And he said, "No, they're just there for oil." I mean, some people say, "Well, we never got oil out of it or something," but they were there to protect the interest. He could understand that, you know. And I'm sure he was disheartened in the whole thing. He didn't want to go back on a second tour, but he signed up for 4 years, and he made it through, and he lived, and he killed himself. One of 18 a day that killed themselves. 18 guys or some girls every day committing suicide because they were in those wars. Now, I don't remember World War II veterans, or maybe they didn't keep statistics, but it's so hellish and so uncalled for and so divorced from reality and so miserable that they kill themselves afterwards. They feel that they should have died, their buddies all died. Who knows what's going on in their mind? And they just take up a gun usually and blow their head off. Some guys have children, kids. They're not just 23 years old. Some of them are 40, 45. But they just end up killing themselves. So, I mean, this is, you know, they're doing – the enemy can't even accomplish that. The enemy's killing, you know, a few guys every day. But here they're killing, you know, 18 a day on average, 18 a day. Committing suicide as a result of being in the war, even if they make it through the war. So this is something like so extraordinary. It's increasing more and more. Anudinam, day by day. Bhagavatam already predicted. And what are they protecting? Why are they fighting? I mean, no one's coming here to do anything. They may have maybe they came one time and you saw, you know.
And all this is just draining the economy.
Yeah, but they don't care. It's just the economy means oligarchs who have tons of money, who are manufacturing weapons. And, you know, we already know. Prabhupada said they have the weapons, they have to use them. They have to use them because they have to make more. And they sell them to the very enemy. They don't care. They don't even keep track. Billions of dollars are going there. Billions of dollars, billions of dollars worth of armaments. Yeah, this is hell. They've created hell. Prabhupada said in 71, he said, this earth has already become hell. In a lecture in Henry Street when I was there, they said, this earth is... When Maharaj Prickett was asking Sukadeva Goswami, Adunaya Mahabhaga, most fortunate, how can they be delivered after hearing about the hells in the fifth canon? How can they be delivered from these hells? So in his lecture, Prabhupada said, people sometimes say they don't believe in hell, but this earth has already become hell, he said. So that was, I believe, 40 years ago, 1971.
Yeah,
so we're 40 years after hell now. Someone could write a little article. 40 years after hell. 40 years into hell.
I also heard Prabhupada in a talk in L.A. He said that Krishna doesn't have to come personally, quoted the Yada Yada Dharmasya. And then he said he can get it done. He doesn't have to come personally. He can just get it done if he wants to, if he wants to straighten it out.
Yeah, I mean, what to speak of armaments, the tornadoes, the tsunamis, the volcanoes, the earthquakes, the floods, the hurricanes, whatever, you know, it's increasing. Maybe we never heard about it before. But, of course, even the Krakatoa, I read that one time, the volcano went off. They could hear it from 2,500 miles away. That's pretty
right.
It could be a mind-boggler, especially if you don't even know what it is.
That affected agriculture for the next 3 to 10 years.
So much
dust in the...
Anyway, to get with Narahari's question about art, it's not impossible to do paint. I've done watercolors, in less than a day, two a day even. But they're not depicting. It's hard to show the spiritual world. You want to show detail. You want to, Prabhupada said so many things. As far as he told me in particular, the last few times that I spoke with Prabhupada, there's an echo. I don't know why, but it's driving me nuts. In 77 in Mayapur, I was doing this big painting of Prabhupada, and actually I was part of the time I was working right on the balcony, right outside his room, and he could see the painting. And it's still there, and it's hanging in the GBC room, and it probably has a real stern look. I painted a bunch of foliage around and flowers and stuff, but he had, in contrast to this very stern look, and they used to pose the whole GBC with that painting. Like after Prabhupada left, they posed all the sannyasis and GBCs with Prabhupada in the middle on that painting of Prabhupada. He could see that. And they'd say, yeah, we like that because Prabhupada looks so stern and heavy, in the painting. But when I was doing it and I showed it to him, he said that I should do a bunch of those paintings. Of course, I've done paintings. And he said I should just give them to the big life members. And you might think, well, why would I do that? Then you immediately could think, well, that's obvious because they'll have a big picture of Prabhupada. And, they'll keep it there and they'll love the painting. They'll love Prabhupada. Or they'll love Prabhupada, they'll love the painting, depending which came first. But it seemed like such a wonderful strategy. Of course, I wasn't able to do it because the temple would always keep the painting, or at least they didn't figure out who to give it to. But this was Prabhupada's idea. I even asked Prabhupada, as a matter of fact, let me see now, which came first. It might have been when I did that painting. I went to see him and I asked him, well, which are your favorite photos of you? And he said, he just ran off quickly. He said, sitting on the lawn in Bhaktivedanta Manor. I'm sure he had other ones, but that was the first thing that came to his mind. It's kind of interesting. If anyone knows that, there's several photos where Prabhupada sitting on the lawn. And some of them he's playing with this boy, Shivadwar, but he's sitting on like a yellow silken-looking pillow. And he's wearing, let me see what kind of garland. But anyway, people are familiar with Prabhupada's photos. And it's not something where you're sitting on a big, giant Vyasasana, but he's just sitting on the lawn with his silken chadar. And his cane is there at his feet. It's kind of a relaxed picture, but at least you can see the whole Prabhupada, with his silken clothes. It's very nice. And it's used a lot. They've used it for the posters many times. Maybe the word got out. That's why they used it. But he liked it. But he said, yeah, sitting on the lawn, watching a manner like that. And he instructed me. Then he said, yes. He said, if you paint like this in disciplic succession, you will go back to Godhead, he told me. So he said, you paint in parampara, disciplic succession, like that. So I took that as painting Prabhupada, painting the gurus in disciplic succession. But I also took it that, you know, the paintings that are Krishna paintings in disciplic succession. And then in, there are several times like that, but in my particular instructions, you know, that's something. He also told me I should paint, decorate the first Prasadam pavilion with big, big paintings, which I never got a chance to do. They were big, had to be big murals. Finally, ultimately, they were done by some local Bengalis. And outside on the wall, I didn't get to do much, but Anakadundabi and Pandu, they did. Outside on the wall, they did the paintings. Probably they give so much to do, you know, so much to do. And in 1975, if you want to hear, but it's mentioned in my art book, I guess, I did a painting of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta that's still there in the quarters. He's sitting in a carved wooden chair, sitting up in the chair. And the original photograph, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers is in it, and I didn't put him in it, but I just did Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And Prabhupada said, oh, very nice. Actually, it's in the folio where he says, who has done that painting? And then he called for me and Bardrosh. He discussed painting for about an hour. He gave so many instructions in that conversation. And I don't know if we have time to talk about the different things, but one of the things was he was very disturbed about, they had a man named Kirpal Singh. It was before I got to L.A., but he did the very detailed, they almost look Buddhist. There's no Krishna in them, but they're very beautifully decorative paintings, which are almost impossible. I think they're impossible to conserve them. I mean, it would take, I think even Narayan, who was a professional conservator, said it would be almost impossible to clean them without messing them up. But they've darkened over the ages. Obviously, so many ghee lamps and incense, and they're just above all the deities in L.A. But they had paid an exorbitant, what Prabhupada considered a huge amount of money. He asked Bardrosh how much they had spent, and Bardrosh threw out some number. It was $35,000-$40,000 to have that guy stay there and do the paintings in L.A. for. This was before the artist had come from New York. He was gone, so I never saw the guy. And Prabhupada was visibly disturbed that they had spent so much money, you know. And then another thing that happened was, so he was discussing with Bardrosh about doing the wall paintings. And I myself and Anakadunabi were copying paintings on the doors. Some of them are still there. I think almost all of them are there. They're really worn out. I varnished them some years ago, finally, after 30-something years. And on the doors on the second level of the Lotus Building, and there was Anakadundabi, a British devotee. He was a very tall devotee, and he's also a pretty good artist. And he was painting right the doors that Prabhupada could see him painting, you know. But see, Anakadundabi and I had to stay up at night a lot of times and do night guard. There weren't that many devotees in those days in 1974, and he would nod off while he was painting because, you know, he was tired. So Prabhupada would see him nodding off sometimes with a paintbrush in his hand. So he imitated Anakadundabi because he said, he was telling Bardrosh that he should get local men to paint. He said, I don't think our men can do the job. And he imitated Anakadundabi. It was only me and Bardrosh there. And he probably put his head down like he was nodding off holding a paintbrush. And he said something like 1 year per line or something. He said one line takes a year, he said, and he put his head down imitating Anakadundabi nodding off. It was kind of, and then at a certain point he said it didn't require that anyone be that expert in detail. He called it minuteness. Prabhupada didn't use the word detail, but he said there's we don't require so much minuteness. He said just if a child paints Krishna no one complains if it's Krishna. You know, they don't complain. Prabhupada said, this is interesting observation by Prabhupada. He said, because the bhava is there, the feeling is there, because the child is so innocent, kind of pure in a way, and he's painting Krishna. So he said, we're not interested in so much minuteness. And he was actually referring back to those ceiling paintings on the altar above the deities in L.A., not in the temple room, but right in the altar there, especially considering they'd spent that much money and all the minuteness. And then he started saying, just like Jadurani, in the beginning she was not very expert. And then he put his finger up in a proper, inimitable way, and he said she was not very expert. He put his finger up, you know, in that forefinger, and he said, and still, and his eyes got a little big, and he said, and still, always painting big, big hair. He said, then he said, the women like to see big, big hair like that, and beard, like, because some of her paintings, he had chastised her because Krishna's hair was too long. There's still some popular paintings that they use on the front of the Reservoir of Pleasure, old painting. They think that because they were done during Prabhupada's era, that Prabhupada approved. He didn't approve of all that painting. You know, I tell the BBT, but I don't know who there is to tell. Like Prabhupada says here, there's a person, you know, it's not the government, which is impersonal. So you need a person, you know, like I try to tell people that Prabhupada didn't like that painting with all the hair, you know. It's like, just like people say the government, you know, is doing this, the government, but it's just people in the government. They're all just pawns, just little teeny puppets, like Prabhupada says here. Even the president, what to speak of the little guys, you know, they can't even hire little guys anymore to bug you on the phone and bug you for money if you owe money to the credit card or anything like that. They just have recordings, you know, they don't want to bother. Everything's very impersonal. This is the government, you know. You go there, someone, you know, like the Nazis say, you know, or the Serbians, oh, he told me to do it. They kill, line up 7,000 people in a day and just kill them. He said, why'd you do it? So, but they arrest the head guy. Maybe they found him just recently. But what about all the other guys who did it? They're responsible. Why did you do that? Well, he told me to do it. You know, he's the government man. He said, kill all of them. Kill these little kids. You don't have a brain. Why you kill a little kid? Why you killed all these people, these boys? So this is impersonalism all the way. You know, there's no – but the person, if there is a person, he's a demon. And they're taking directions from a demon. The Prophet was struggling against that very nicely, but, you know. Anyway, finally in that conversation, after going back and forth about how to decorate Mayapur and all the foibles of the devotees, the Western devotees, and Prabhupada gave specific instructions, to, you know, do this, do that. Then he looked at me and he said, you have done this painting of my Guru Maharaj? And I was – Prabhupada's potency was such that you didn't have to artificially become humble. I think people who know – the people who know, but I had that distinct realization when Prabhupada looked at me and said, you have done this painting. I had not even one iota scintilla of desire to take credit for it or to think it was good or to brag about it in any way. I had no ecstasy thinking I had done this great thing. It's Prabhupada's potent, power potent. He just banned me. He just reduced my false ego. I felt this wonderful feeling that I just kind of went, yeah. Like he said, you have done this. And I thought, like, I just didn't want to claim any special credit or think it was good. But somehow or other, Prabhupada said, then he immediately said, Bhardwaj, I think he's even better painter than you, like that. You know, anyway, it was a wonderful thing. Because Bhardwaj is Prabhupada several times. I know twice where Prabhupada said he was the best painter in ISKCON, at least at that time, you know. Best painter, best singer, best sculptor. Anyway. Prabhupada has many manifold pastime. You know, he could speak and say something and would have so many meanings at one time and so much impact. This is Prabhupada. I don't think it's possible for other people. It's not nothing. Don't try it at home.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Prabhupada encouraged the devotees to run for office because he thought that they could actually do something.
But he said even if they don't get the office, at least they'll be able to preach while they're, you know, speaking and running and all that. But he did encourage not He didn't go when they thought of it on their own. I mean, he might have mentioned it, but then when Rupanuga and Balavanta and a few others, Amarendra, decided to do it, he didn't discourage it, but he didn't like pick anyone and say, "You run for office." I don't think so. He might have said it'd be nice if we had, you know, like that Krishna conscious, but they got fired up. And in fact, Prabhupada brought Balavanta up from Atlanta to discuss these things. He knows more about it in New York way back in even 72, or I think it was. And he probably jokingly, well, I don't know even whether to repeat it online, but, you know, he said, so anyway, I won't say it, but he said some heavy stuff. Whoops. Phone is ringing. Hang on a second. Hello? I'm still in the class, but I'll come over there. All right. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that's the story. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. I would like to ask one simple question. I hope you don't think it's silly, about children and their pictures of Krishna.
Yeah, go ahead.
My oldest child is 31 now, so I have 30 years worth of pictures of Krishna, and I don't know, like, I can't keep them forever. I don't know if I should throw them in the ocean or burn them or what.
Who is speaking?
My name is Maharani Devidasi.
Oh, okay. Well, that's up to you. I completely, entirely, I've got a lot of stuff I should probably burn or throw in the ocean too. But yeah, those are the proper way to dispose of things, I guess, because they're Krishna. Reminds me the first time I came from L.A. and they took me over to the press, which is several blocks from the Brooklyn Temple. And the first thing I saw, it was a windy day, was a huge pictures of Prabhupada blowing down the street. And I was thinking, what is going on? You know, because, I mean, what could they do? They had all these misprints, you know, they had their own press. And so, I mean, these things are a perpetual problem. Of course, in India, a place where nowadays they take things a little more for granted, but they would take every picture, I remember, and, you know, everything was saved, and every piece of paper, probably would take every scrap of paper and use it for notes, for this, for that, you know. Unfortunately, it's hard to figure out what to do. My daughter's all, I have a big portfolio of her pictures. She's 20 now, but I don't know what to do with them. They're not even all Krishna. Some of them are just whatever. So out of sentiment, we keep these things. And, you know, sometimes they might be, if you have room, you can keep them. Or you could give out. I mean, nobody really wants. They all have their own kid pictures if they have kids. So I really can't answer it except, yeah, as far as disposing things. Of things, that's the proper way, burning or throw them. But then, you know, do you really want to throw things in the ocean? And just anyway, you could recycle them, you know, with paper recycling. It's probably better than burning, because then we have to breathe the pollutes the air, you know. There's a chance that they could recycle the paper if you really want to get rid of them, unless you just want to keep them for the next 25 generations.
No, I'm not that sentimental. I just never knew what to do with them.
Right, but as far as practically, I wouldn't burn stuff, you know, unless it was a Brahmin thread or I mean, I get pictures from the Ritwig magazine. These magazines, I keep most of them. Sometimes there's a recycling at the post office now. They didn't used to have it. I could recycle them. Sometimes I read what they're saying just to see what they're saying. It'll be interesting to see what they say in the next issue and they're back to Prabhupada or whatever it is, because they've just lost their case after 12 years. But anyway, I can't come down conclusively, but I'd go for recycling than for burning.
Or bury them? Can you bury them?
I suppose you could bury them, yeah, if you have a place to bury things. They'll just...
Yeah.
I don't see it as a major problem, but it could be a priority.
You can't just throw them away, right?
Well, what I'm saying is sometimes I saw so many devotees in the old days before. Now I personally take paper out of the trash. I saw this guy who was actually emptying the trash at the post office and the recycling. And I told him, I said, it's too bad people don't puts, you know, a lot of redneck and a lot of less intelligent people in the world, they don't even bother to recycle. The recycling thing is next to the trash, but they, it's easy to just throw it right in the trash. They have tons and tons of junk mail burning, sinfully killing all kinds of trees, and without even thinking, they're just throwing, they've gone out of their way, at least. I used to complain to the post office all the time, say, why don't they have recycling? So I don't know if it's because of me or other people, but they got recycling, and the people don't use it. I mean, so I take it out personally. Most of it's just paper that's in there. There's nothing else, you know, like all these ads and junk mail. And I take it out personally. I open up the thing and put them in the recycling. And then one time I saw the guy who takes, and I saying to him, I said, well, this is terrible. They don't use the recycling. He said, that's all right. I put it all in the recycling anyway. Now, I don't know. I have to believe him. But, you know, but still, sometimes I have time. I take it out and put it in recycling. I think recycling is more important than burning or burying, you know. But I've, in the old days, I used to see the devotees taking the back to Prabhupada's and just throwing them in the trash, in the envelopes. And they didn't even bother. And I said, well, you know, Prabhupada's in this. Tons of pictures of Prabhupada. It didn't seem to faze them. He just didn't want to have it. So, you know, I don't know what to say, you know. I didn't used to do that because there was no recycling. The pictures of Prabhupada there. So, and I'd read them, what they say. You know, a lot of it is BS, but there's sometimes they have their points. So. Anyway, there's another thing.
I think we should let Pushpar
yep.
go. Looks like right. getting calls and everything.
All right. Hari Bol.
But thank you, Prabhu, very much. Really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Okay.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
I'll try to do better next time. Hari Bol.
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Pushkar, for a very good class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.